Good morning. My name is Ryan. Pastor Tim is away for this weekend, and so asked if I'd be willing to speak this morning, and I'm glad for it. I'm excited for the opportunity for that. We are coming just off of a series, Rooted in Christ, where we talked about how important it is for us to be connected together as a body of Christ, as a church. If you remember the illustration of the huge trees, the redwoods, and how their roots actually weren't super deep, but they were connected to all the ones around them, and how they need each other, how we need each other. And that was actually really convicting to me and very challenging to my heart on that. We do all need each other. We do all play a part, a role in what God has for us, and I'm thankful for it. And we could see that already this morning. There are things that others of you are doing that you don't want me doing. And there are things that I might do that you don't want to do, right? The snacks this morning, I mean, that's the Lord's work out there, right? And the music up here, it's something, hey, look, if God calls you to do something, you can do it, but he hasn't called me to that, you know? I do what I can on my own in the back. I try not to be too close to anybody else when I sing. But I am thankful for those that God has made for that work there. But I'm grateful for the opportunity just to take a few moments here together and look in God's Word. And actually, we'll mostly be looking at one passage of Scripture, basically at the end, that we will mainly look at that. But this is just something that God's been working on my heart about. So when Pastor asked me to speak, I said, okay, are we going to be in a series at that time? Is there anything in particular? And he said, no, we'll wrap up the Rooted series. He'll be back. He'll start something new next week. And so it's just kind of in the middle there and however God leads. And so there's something that God has been working on my heart with really over the course of this last month or so. And I'm involved over at the Christian Academy here in Bellefonte. In our chapels, we've been focusing on some of this. So I'll say that there are a few people here today that have been part of that at the school. And so you have a head start a little bit on some of the stuff that we'll look at this morning. But God just got a hold of me. He won't let go on what has us to look at this morning. So we're going to listen to him as he does that. But let me ask you, let me start out with this. And I had one hand in the first service, but I know there will be more hands in this one. Who's ever heard of Amy Carmichael? Okay, good. Yeah, so Amy Carmichael, she was born in the late 1800s in Ireland, and she had this one request when she was young. She wanted blue eyes, right? Anybody have blue eyes in here, right? Who has normal, plain, boring, brown eyes like me? Okay, yeah. And so neither my wife or I have blue eyes, and all of our children have blue eyes. Even our youngest, who we adopted, blue eyes. So God knew all of that. And those of you involved in genetics can figure out, you know, whatever's going on there. But I know recessive genes and all that. But she had these brown eyes and she wanted blue eyes. Yeah, I mean, she in Ireland, she was probably had a lot of her friends around her with light hair or and blue eyes, right? And she wanted that. Have you ever asked God for something that really is small to most people, but it meant a lot to you at the time? We probably have, right? And eye color doesn't seem like much, but this was a big deal to her. And she asked her mom, what should I do? She said, talk to God, pray, and ask God. And so she did that, and she asked God for that. God didn't change her eye color. He could have, right? I mean, he really could have. We've seen him do quite amazing things, but he didn't. he left her eyes that color. I think about the prayers that I had, maybe some of the prayers that seem inconsequential, but meant a lot to me, and they usually involved as I was coming up through school, and I had a test the next day, or a speech the next day, and I was just praying, God, come back. Come through the clouds. I need to see you coming back. I need something because I'm not ready for this, right? And as a teacher now, I see a familiar look in that classroom sometimes as we did. Well, she prayed. God didn't change it. She would grow up. She actually grew up in a little bit of a wealthy type family. But she always had a burden for those poor people, for lack of a better term, around her. And she wanted to reach out and help them. She had a heart for ministry. So she would serve God with that population in her town. And then she would eventually, as she grew up and became an adult, she served as a missionary in Japan for a short period of time until a condition that she had with her nerves that caused pain just made it too much. She couldn't do it. She didn't end up going home, but she went to London where she served in some other ways there. And then God eventually would work it out that he led her to India, where she had a ministry rescuing these young girls. At the time, in the religion of the time in India, it was commonplace if you had a daughter that was born to you that you could just leave them at the temple. And they would grow up there as temple slaves. Temple prostitutes in many ways. And she saw this and she knew it needed to change, right? She knew that they needed God. And you know, today as we look around us in our communities, we do have a lot of diversity as we look around. You know, maybe not in your town where you are, but go to State College maybe, and you look around and there's people from all over the world, right? And people that look all different kinds of ways, but it wasn't really that way at that time in India. And if she would have showed up with her blonde hair and her blue eyes, they just wouldn't have accepted her. She found that out from living there. But her dark features and her dark hair and her dark eyes that she desperately wanted rid of, actually God used that to allow her to be accepted and to be part of that community that she was in. She was able eventually to rescue so many girls from that life. Her unanswered prayer allowed her to be used by God to answer the prayers for rescue by these young abused girls. And so she came to peace with that. And she said, God, okay, I see it. I see that this little prayer of a little girl to change the way I looked wasn't answered, but you actually use that to allow me to have a ministry that you had prepared for me way ahead. And she comes to peace with that, and then she had an accident, and her last 20 years of her life were basically spent bedridden. Well, now what, God? Now this is what you've brought to me. Well, God used that time in her life. She wrote books and poetry that influenced generations and still today influences generations of people, of missionaries, people going and telling about Jesus Christ. God used her. God made her just how he wanted to make her, created for a purpose. But you know what? God, you know, that's not an unusual thing for God to do. And there's a few places in Scripture we can see that. And so Moses, right? In Exodus chapter 3, God comes to Moses and he appears to him in a burning bush, right? And he says, this is holy ground that you're on, and take off your sandals. And he's going to speak to him. And he says, I am the God of Jacob, and I have seen the affliction of my people. You are in slavery. I know it. I see it. And I am going to deliver you from Egypt. And Moses had to be pumped. He had to be excited that it's finally coming. But then he says, sending you. Oh. And the excuses start to come for Moses. Who am I? I'm unqualified for that. They're not even going to believe me. They're not going to believe that this has happened and that you're actually speaking to me. I can't do what you're calling me to do. And so God says, okay, I'll give you some signs. Take your staff, your walking stick, and put it on the ground, and it turns into a snake. And pick it up, and it turns back into a stick. That's a pretty convincing sign. Take your hand and put it into your coat and pull it out, and it's covered in leprosy. And put it back in, pull it out, and it's clean. That's a convincing sign. One more. Take some water from the mighty Nile and pour it out into the dusty ground, and it will turn into blood, a foreshadowing of what is to come. That's a really good sign. And so God answers all of these things and all the excuses, and then maybe we really get to the real reason Moses was hesitant here. And it's in verse 10 of chapter 3. He says, "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you've spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. I have this stammer, I have this stutter, I don't speak well in front of people. I am just not qualified to do this. I'm not qualified to do what you're asking me to do." And then God responds with this super powerful verse. In verse 11, he says to Moses, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" Moses, you say you don't speak well. You say that your mouth isn't right, that it wasn't. Who made that? I made that. And I made that specifically the way that I wanted to make that for what I have for you to do. And there's a great word in there. It says who makes him mute. It doesn't say, that God, if the person who's mute, that God can use it anyway. The person who is deaf, that God can use it anyway. The person who is blind, that God can use it anyway. It says, and this is something we have to wrestle with maybe, it says that God makes him that way. That's a lot to figure out. But that's what Scripture says. I made you this way, Moses. I know. And I have a plan for you. And I have a purpose for you. I have something that I want you to do. I have made you that way. If I can share a personal example, I feel like I can relate to Moses a little bit. I've never seen a burning bush. I've never been asked to rescue any country from slavery. But as a young person, I was always afraid to speak. No, I didn't. I wanted nothing to do with speaking in public. Very, very shy and quiet, right? We would be out to a restaurant with the family, and okay, I'd already told mom and dad what I want. When the waiter or waitress comes, they'll take care of it, and then they did what I dreaded. They would turn to me when the waitress is there and say, "Okay, Ryan, tell her what you want." And I just freeze. "No, mom, I told you. I can't," you know, I couldn't do it, right? And then even as a little bit older, as a teenager, you'd go to Burger King and I'd order my meal and up there and they'd hand you your tray and you go back and, they forgot to put the fries on. I didn't need fries anyway. It's okay because I'm not going to go back up there, right? It's just, I remember certain things. I remember certain events or things that were said that just caused embarrassment to me that are burned into my brain now. That it was just, I did not want attention brought to me. I didn't want anyone looking at me. I didn't want any of that. Well, in the coming years, in my teen years, I started to sense God's call to ministry, to preach or to be a missionary, to a pastor. I wasn't sure exactly what. And so my youth pastor would help me with this and try to have us to have little devotionals that we would share in our youth group. But I remember the first time that I was preaching in church, like preaching like a full real message. And my youth pastor, like the week before, he said, "Okay, let's practice." So he sat there and I'm up here and I have everything written out. I mean, word for word. And I could not get a single word out. And it's just him that is sitting there. And I was just nothing would come out. And somehow we wrestled through all of those things. And my mom, and I don't know if this is a real thing or not, but I would get so nervous before anything like that, and she'd say, drink a Sprite, it's good for your stomach and calm nerves. I don't know if it really does, but she said it did, so it seemed to work, right? God didn't entirely take that away. You know that? God says, I made you a way, and I'm going to use you through it, right? I still get nervous. I still sit in the back and breathe heavy, right? You know, I had the opportunity to pastor for about 13 years. God worked through it. And then just because God has a sense of humor, he has me now teaching, even I taught a speech class, if you can believe it. And the group that I had in speech, a couple years ago this was, the group that I had, it was just perfectly curated, the quietest ones in the entire school, the shyest ones in the entire school. And they, first day of class, they, you know, Pastor Ryan, this is the day that I have dreaded for my entire school career. And they would express that. And so I started to share a little bit of my story. And it seemed to help. You know, we had one girl that, and I'd known her for, up before this, I'd probably known her for 2 years before that. Never heard a word from her, and I'm not exaggerating. Never heard a word from her. And she's in my class. And it comes time for the first speech. Her name comes up, that dreaded random wheel. But she's ready, and today's the day, and she has everything written out. It's word for word. She had her notes, and she goes to the front of the class. And her eyes just get big. And she starts to shake. She starts to cry. Okay, all right, go ahead and have a seat. We'll try again tomorrow. And the next day she gets up, and a little bit of something came out, a sound. Okay, we'll try again tomorrow. And eventually, she would do it. And she gave speech after speech. Actually, believe it or not, she's on student council now. And she had to give a speech to get voted on to that, which is incredible enough. But I think, you know, sometimes a teacher just needs to kick you in the butt and tell you to go, but I think God made me a certain way and experiences me a certain way so that I could help them in what they needed, right? I don't know, God just does things like, God makes us a certain way for a task that he has for us. You think of David. David, whenever Israel was looking for a king, and God sent Samuel to Jesse, which is David's dad. And he says, God's led me here. Show me your sons. And of course, they start with the oldest one and the best one. And no, that's not him. No, that's not him. No, God hasn't chosen him either. Do you have any others? No. Well, yeah, I mean, David. But he's too young. He's too small. He's just a shepherd. He's not qualified. There's even a man in Scripture that maybe you have heard of named Ehud. What was unique about Ehud? He was left-handed. Now, for us, being left-handed isn't really a bad thing. You know, you're a little weird. You write crooked, and you smear your papers as you're trying to drag your hand across there. But beyond that, it's not a big deal. But in that time and in that culture, a warrior certainly wouldn't be left-handed. Right hand was the hand of strength. It's kind of like having a left-handed catcher in baseball. It just doesn't happen, hardly, right? You're not suited for it. You wouldn't be suited for battle in the right way. So just at that day. But God called on him. He says, I want you to go and free Israel by killing King Eglon, delivering Israel. You want me to... I'm not qualified for that. I mean, everyone's told me that. I can't be a military person. I can't be an assassin like that. God hasn't, I'm just not qualified for it. And I think of the phrase unqualified yet uniquely prepared. I think people are unqualified, but they're uniquely prepared for what God has for them. Amy Carmichael, uniquely prepared for the work that God had for her. Moses, God uniquely prepared him for the work he had. God took him away from his family, which of course his mother would end up coming and be able to raise him, but raised in Pharaoh's household there. He was familiar with how those things worked. He knew his way around the royalty, the government. He was educated in the Egyptian customs. He knew the land. And so when God called him to go to Pharaoh and go through all of this process and free the people, he was prepared for it. And David, his big moment when he really comes onto the scene is when God had him take a slingshot, or take a sling, and kill the Philistine giant Goliath. But God had uniquely prepared him, because when he was just a shepherd, he was out in the field and he killed a lion and he killed a bear with that sling. And God, you're unqualified in man's eyes, but I'm preparing you for what I have for you to do. And Ehud was called to go and to kill King Eglon. And so he comes to him and he has gifts to give the king. And they kind of are heading out. Everyone's leaving and, oh, just one second. Can I have a moment with the king? Well, obviously his security, they're going to check, make sure he doesn't have any weapons. But a left-handed man is going to carry it over here. Well, they don't even check over there because no left-handed guy is going to be this warrior person. So they just check him, nothing. And he goes in, and he's able to pull the sword out and to kill the king and to free his people. He wasn't qualified, really, but God had uniquely prepared him. Psalm 139, let me read a few verses to you as you listen in. Psalm 139 starts out this way. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? And he goes on and says, if I go to heaven, you're there. If I take the wings of morning and fly, you're there. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. God, you know me. Verse 13, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. God, you designed me and carefully constructed me just how you wanted me to be. Every little part and every little detail, you wove it together to make me, me. Verse 14, and this is David, just the shepherd boy David writing, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Fearfully made. I am made in such a way that cannot help but inspire awe. That's what it means, fearfully made. I'm made in a way that when I look at how I'm made, it inspires awe. Now, you looked in the mirror, just like I did this morning. You probably weren't awed, except for how fast time goes, right? But when I think about the body, when I think about the human body, it's incredible. All the systems that a science teacher can tell you that I can't, right? The circulatory and, okay, that's as far as I went. But all of that, every little part of the brain is such detail that is there. And if one little thing is different, it changes all of these other things. And it is incredible to think. When I think about how God made me, it does inspire awe. I don't fully understand it, right? I am wonderfully made. This word is set apart I am made in such a way that sets me apart. All creation is good. But humans are God's masterpiece. It is just another level. It is amazing what God has created. We are unique. We are set apart. God has made us in such a way that inspires awe. God has made us in such a way that we are set apart, even above other creation. God's creations are good. And he says, my soul knows it very well. My soul knows it. Though I don't understand it, I'm convinced of it. That's right there in the words, the meaning. Though I don't understand this, I'm convinced. I'm convinced that you made me perfectly. Made me just how you wanted to make me. And he says, I'll praise you because of it. I'll praise you for how he made you. I'm not fully understanding why, but I'm knowing that God deserves praise for it. And as I think of this, I'm thinking of my own life, but I'm thinking of you as well. And maybe you're thinking of your life this morning and you're saying, I don't know, I'm not fully convinced of what you're saying. God says you don't have to fully understand it, but believe it. Believe that God made you in the way that he intended to make you, for the purposes that he has for you. So you look around and you say, I'm not as good looking as that person. I'm not as intelligent as that person. My family, that had to be a mistake, right? Whatever it is, that illness that I'm dealing with, that just that situation in life that I have does not seem like God knew what he was doing. I'm not qualified, God, for what you're calling me to do. I'm not qualified for what you're asking me to do. God says, you're right, but I've prepared you for it. God has something different for each one of us. We're not going to all have the same callings in life, but God does have a calling and a purpose for you, right? Right? Because God says, I know before you were even born and I made you in this way, created for a purpose that I have for you. So I don't know if maybe you need to hear that this morning. Maybe you just needed reminded of that this morning, that God, I'm going to praise you because I believe that even that thing that I've asked you to change and you haven't changed, you're going to use it. You have a purpose for it. And I have to be okay with not totally understanding that. I have to be okay with maybe not even totally getting the answers for that in my lifetime. But I'm going to trust you that when you made creation, that you didn't make mistakes. And so I'm going to praise you for just how you made me. And I'm going to let you use me. Father, you have the heart of a father who loves us unconditionally, a father who wants nothing but good things for us. And we acknowledge that you are our creator, but we do sometimes struggle with decisions that you've made, the way that you've made us, the situations you've put us in. Please help us to praise you anyway, to trust you, knowing your character. And God, I pray that we would walk out of here with the confidence of being a child of the King, created uniquely, prepared uniquely for your purpose. We pray it in your name. Amen.